This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. All praise of Allah. We praise Him. We thank Him. We ask Him for His help and we ask Him for His forgiveness. We seek refuge with Allah Ta'ala from the evil ourselves and the evil of our actions. Whoever is guided by Allah, then no one can misguide them. And whoever is misguided, then no one can guide them except for Allah Ta'ala. I bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship except Allah. And I bear witness that Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is His final messenger at Mab'ad. First of all, Assalamu Alaikum Wa Rahmatullahi Wa Barakatuh. Just to welcome you all here, min fadlillahi ta'ala. SubhanAllah, we ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to make this lesson beneficial for all of us, inshallah. Because, subhanAllah, as you all know, subhanAllah, that the husband is one of the main ways for a woman to enter a Jannah. SubhanAllah. This is why for every woman, after believing Allah and, you know, implementing His deen, our greatest concern should be, inshallah, how to, you know, try to have a stable married life with our husbands, inshallah. And just to mention something here that, subhanAllah, sisters, over the years of, you know, speaking to sisters, you know, many sisters approaching me with their problems over the years, one thing I can say is that the majority of cases, subhanAllah, if you look down to the root cause of most marital problems, SubhanAllah, in the majority of cases, sisters, it's actually due to very simple things that need to be changed. And I'm not just talking about, of course, from the wife's point of view, even from the husband's point of view, but in most cases, it's actually little things. It's just a whole lot of little things that add up to be a very big thing, which is the big marriage problem. But the base of it, it's just, SubhanAllah, it's just small, right? It's just these small, simple things that we tend to forget about and neglect with one another. You know, often, you know, we start up marriage life, you know, subhanAllah, so happy and so, like, having the best intentions towards one another. But you know how it is, let's be honest, as time goes by, as the years go by, it's human nature that we tend to take our marriage partner for granted as time goes by. And we start to become a little bit lax in the way, you know, subhanAllah, in being a little bit careful with the way we deal with them and stuff like that. So, and this is how, and it's from both the side of the wife and the side of the husband. So we have to realize, subhanAllah, sometimes by making very small changes that we can bring about very positive or, you know, positive results, inshallah, in our marriages. And I know a lot of people feel frustrated. They say, why we have these lessons for women, not for men? And inshallah, like, you know, we do have Sharia classes for men. And in those lessons, they are taught about the rights of the wife and stuff like that, and how to deal with their wives and stuff like that. And, you know, sometimes it's brought up in the khutbah, stuff like that. So it is dealt with. But at the end of the day, one thing we have to always realise, because a lot of women, subhanAllah, they get frustrated. They think, why won't my husband change? You know, but realise, subhanAllah, sisters, that, you know, we can never make another person change. You cannot tell a person change and they'll just change. Actually, the best way to make someone change is to try to make some small changes yourself. And by you making those small changes, you bring about a change in the other person. Because what happens is we get locked into a cycle. You know, in married life, we tend to get locked into a bit of a cycle with one another. Right? And you just get locked into habits with one another. You know, because he reacts in a certain way, you react in a certain way. And because you react in a certain way, he reacts in a certain way. But imagine if you can change that cycle. Imagine if you can react in a totally different way that he's not used to. What are you going to do? You're going to knock him off his platform. He's going to be like taken aback. And it's going to cause him to have to think now. How am I going to react now? She's not reacting in her usual way. You understand? So you have to realize that you, inshallah, can make positive changes in your marriage, inshallah, by you making, just sometimes looking at small things that you might be overlooking and trying to implement these small changes, inshallah. Bi-idhnillah. Of course, number one, we have to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask Him for His help in making us successful, inshallah. And of course, you know, this advice I'm giving today is for the usual cases of marriage. Of course, there are always those cases which are just, you know, like very extreme cases, right? Which there's numerous problems. I'm not really dealing with that kind of marriage today. I'm mainly focused on the normal marriages. Okay, the normal marriages, which most people have, and the normal problems that happen in most homes. So we have to realize that sometimes just making that small change can make an enormous difference in your marriage. And like even, for example, some of the psychologists have said, for example, a small thing, even just like having a meal together, like sometimes life gets so busy that we're not even having even one meal a day together, you know. And they said that, you know, there was a lot of cases where they had husbands and wives come into their, you know, offices, you know, almost falling apart in their marriage. And by the psychologists recommending them just to have one meal where they sit together alone, you know, maybe the kids are asleep, maybe it's a night meal before going to bed, you know, maybe it's just a hot milk and a biscuit together, but just having that one meal where you're sitting together, they said, subhanAllah, by those partners, you know, by those, married spouses, you know, implementing this meal together, that they actually make a huge positive change in their marriage just by this small action. Because why? Because that meal, what's it doing? It's bringing them together. It's over something that, like, food makes you feel happy when you eat it. It's a comfort thing, you know? And then while you're sitting there, you start talking, you know, like, you know yourself. Okay, I'm getting a bit off the track here to start off with, but it doesn't matter. We need to talk about this too. You know yourself that the men, once they're married to you for a long time, you basically have to catch them to talk to you, you know what I mean? They're always like, oh, they look at this, they don't do this, you know, like, one of the best ways to really capture the man, to get him to really pay attention and talk to you, is actually put the meal down, because you know that he has to come for that, you know what I mean? So it is a good way to get the men, or to have that time with your husband to have that time to talk. But of course, you need to try and find a time where you can be more alone to have that time together, inshallah. Okay, so that's the first thing. So just remember that, keep in mind that yes, this lesson is only for women, unfortunately, but remember that, like we said, even so, the fact is that when one person in a relationship makes a change, that can bring about change. The other person, when you make these changes, that the other person sometimes is forced to change because they find you reacting in different ways. So keep that in your mind, inshallah. So, you know, we're talking today about the forgotten and neglected rights of both husbands and wives. And Allah Ta'ala, He told us in the Quran, وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Like He says, live with them in a good and kind and honourable way. This is the way that the husband and wife should both be having that intention to live together in the best of ways, in a way that pleases Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, and, you know, brings the rida of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala for them both, inshallah. So this should be our intention in our marriages, and that's why I would say first and foremost, in trying to fix any problems in my marriage, the first and foremost thing I would say to anyone, inshallah, is number one, correct your intention towards your husband. Correct your intention towards your husband, because, you know, if you look back and think about when you first got married, and how, you know, the early days, you know, both really in love, and oh, he's my husband, and look how nice you were dealing with him. If you think back, you be honest with yourself, you'll find, and even him, the same thing, you'll find in the beginning everyone was so nice with each other, everyone was treating each other so nicely, and the manners and everything like that. But then as time went by, we started, you know, not caring about the way we talk to each other, the way we treat each other. You understand? So the first step inshallah, taking that positive change towards, you know, marriage, is to correct the intention and, you know, subhanAllah, make this marriage, think about your marriage as a way of being close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you think about your marriage as a way of being close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this will definitely help you in being successful in acting in a better way and treating your husband in a better way. Allah ta'ala says in the Quran, إِيَّعْلَمِ اللَّهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ خَيْرًا يُبْتِكُمْ خَيْرًا. Allah ta'ala says in the Quran, that when Allah knows that you have good in your heart, يَعْلَمِ اللَّهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ خَيْرًا يُبْتِكُمْ خَيْرًا, that He'll give you the good, He'll bring about the good for you. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that in your heart, that you have the sincere intention that, you know, you want to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your marriage, and that, you know, you want to try and correct your intention towards your husband, to be, you know, sincere in trying to deal with him in a good way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it easier for you to do so. You know, he'll make it easier for you to speak in a better way towards your, you know, speak in a better way to your husband, to, you know, treat your husband, inshallah, in a better way. Because obviously, when you haven't corrected this intention, right, and if you have, you know, not that clear intention, subhanAllah, towards your husband, you'll find that, you know, subhanAllah, bad words just come out, you know, from your mouth. Or you don't treat, you know, you don't care about the way you treat him. And if you just really be honest with yourself, you'll realize it's because, subhanAllah, you haven't, you know, fixed your intention, you haven't corrected your intention towards your husband to make, you know, to want to live, you know, sincerely as trying to please him, inshallah, for the sake of Allah, like I said before, because you know that, inshallah, you know, subhanAllah, after believing in Allah and practicing his deen, that one of the main ways for a woman to enter a Jannah is through her husband, subhanAllah. So this is the very important point to start off with, correcting our intention, inshallah. And also remember, like I said before, like, subhanAllah, how many times we start off the marriage so nice and treating each other so well, but why does the marriage change? Why in the beginning was it so good, the marriage, and why did it, you know, go to become, like, now we don't feel that care anymore and stuff like that? Allah Ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. So Allah Ta'ala does not change what the condition of a people until they change themselves. So we can see that, why did this happen in my marriage? Why did my marriage go, for example, from in the beginning being so happy and content to now it's like we feel these bad feelings towards each other and stuff like that? Have a look at what we did. How did we start changing the way we were treating each other? How did we start changing the way we started talking to each other? Right? Because Allah Ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. And it's similar, the same thing. If you want a positive change in your marriage, it's not going to come about until you make those steps first. Right? You have to take those positive steps first in order to bring about that change. Okay, so let's go on to the second point that I want to speak about today, of what is missing in marriages, what are the things we're neglecting and forgetting about in marriages, like simple things. These are all simple things that I mentioned today, okay? A very simple thing is just paying more attention to the way we speak to one another. It's a very simple thing, just being more conscious of the way that you speak to one another. You know, we fall into a cycle system of, you know, criticism. You know, we so, like, as time goes by, we don't just let criticism run off our tongues towards our husband, criticizing him, maybe putting him down, nagging. And unfortunately, in some situations, even worse, they start to, you know, abuse each other, call each other names, swearing, alhamdulillah. So it gets out of control. Okay, so if we... You know, subhanAllah, what did the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tell us? مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَصْمُتْ. Whoever believes in Allah and the last day, then let him say the good or remain silent. Now imagine if every husband and wife did that. If every husband and wife just implemented this hadith, we would see very little problems going on in marriages, subhanAllah. But what it is now is, you know, unfortunately, we forget that Allah is watching us when we speak to our husbands. And the malaika are recording our words, sisters. And we will have to face, we will see those words when we meet with Allah, subhanAllah, like in the next life. When our books are shown to us, remember that, subhanAllah, everything is recorded for you, whether it's big or small. SubhanAllah, and you're going to be met with that. You remember that whatever you say, whatever comes out of your mouth, it is recorded for you, unless you make tawbah to Allah for what you have said. So keep that in mind. Like, subhanAllah, you know, many times you think, oh, look at the way he's talking to me, I'm just going to talk to him the same way. Keep one thing in your mind. He is being judged for what he's saying, and you're being judged for what he's saying. So say to yourself, subhanAllah, if he wants to say that, let him be judged for it. But I'm not gonna let myself be judged. You know, I don't want to be responsible, because whatever I say, I'm gonna have to face that. You can't say on your qiyamah, oh, my husband said that to me, so I said that back to him. You'll be responsible for your deed. He'll be responsible for his deed. So that's one thing to keep in our minds, inshallah. So subhanAllah, and also Allah Ta'ala says, وَقُولُ لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا. Speak to the people with in the best way. Like that's the people. Like unfortunately we all know the story that so many times we're careful with our friends, we're careful with the people outside, but when it comes to inside the house, we don't care less about how we treat that person or talk to them. You know, our children either, we're guilty of that. SubhanAllah, may Allah forgive us and may Allah subhanahu make us better, because we really should be the best to the people inside our houses. You know, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, أَكْمَلَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِمَانًا أَحْسَنُهُمْ خُلُقًا, that the best of the believers, you know, the best of those who are, you know, best in their iman and most complete in their man are those who are most, you know, they have the best of that. And he said, خَيْرُكُمْ خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِي وَأَنَا خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِي. Like he said, the best of you are the best to their families, and I am the best of you to their family. So like, remember that if you're truly, like if you really consider yourself to have a close relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then a sign of how close you are to Allah is in fact the way you deal with those who are close to you, and that primarily is your family. Number one, because subhanAllah, it's very easy to act nice with people outside the home because you're worried about what people will think about you and stuff like that. But inside the home when no one's watching you except Allah, that's how we find out whether the person, you know, how sincere is your iman really in Allah. Because the more sincere you are in your iman, the more complete your iman is, the more you're going to be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala watching you, right? And know, and realizing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching you, as you know, the Messenger of Allah defines ihsan. That فَإِنَّمْ تَكُنْ تَوْ, you know, if you don't know that He's watching you, فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكْ, know that He's watching you. You know, if you can't see Him in your actions, if you can't you know, worship Him as if you can see Him, then know that He sees you. So this is what we should be implementing, this even when our behavior towards our husbands and towards our family. So remember, sisters, this is the thing about words. Once that word has left the tongue, you can't take it back. And sometimes that word can fall in the heart and stab someone so deeply in the heart that it takes a very long time to mend. It can cause such a wound in the heart. Like, subhanAllah, we don't realize that words can cause more damage to a person's heart than a knife. Like a knife, subhanAllah, someone could get stabbed in the heart and they could get healed from it. But words, a person could carry the wound of that around in themselves for years and years and they can't even get it out of their head. So, and we know that the woman's tongue in particular, because we have, you know, Allah has blessed us with the ability to really be able to express ourselves in many cases a lot more clearly than what, you know, or, you know, how can I say, emotionally, let's say, than a man can. And that, you know, you got to realize that when those words come out with emotion, you know, that can really hurt a man's heart, subhanAllah. So realize that those words can really cause a lot of damage. So go back to what I said, مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَسْمُتْ. Whoever believes in Allah on the last day, then let them say the good or keep silent. Bite onto your tongue, because remember, you will be held to account for whatever comes out in your words or in your actions. Okay, the scholars have given some guidelines of when are the most important times we should be even more, you know, extra careful in speaking to our spouse. You know, it's for husbands and wives, but you know, I'm aiming it towards you today because that's who's here. So, number one, they said the first occasion or one of the most important occasions to pay attention to when speaking to one's spouse is when calling them. And you'll notice that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he used to, whenever he would call to Aisha, for example, he would call her Ya Aisha. He would call her in an endearing way. So it is very important to look at the way you call your husband. You know, don't always call him by his first name, like just say his name is Muhammad. Muhammad, you know, like it doesn't, you know, sometimes call him Hamudi. Call him some playful name that makes him feel playful. Like, you know the problem, sisters? What you don't realize, okay? What you don't realize, we are all like small children in older bodies. Aren't we? Like, when you look in the mirror, can you believe that you are 30, 40, 50? No. You can't. SubhanAllah, you still feel young inside. So just like you like to be played with and take life easy, your husband likes to be played with and take life easy too. You know what I mean? Like, and the we know life is full of problems. Like marriage life, as any married woman here will be able to tell you, it's a hard life, subhanAllah. It's a lot of striving, it's a lot of patience, but you've got to make light of things. So it's very important for the woman to be able to make light of things, sisters. And, you know, so just start off, you know, when you call him, don't just call him. You know, life is pressures and hardships, you know. So, like, imagine if you make that positive change in your house, Hamudi, you know, like, your tea's ready, you know, like, just a small thing like that. And he's like, whoa, what's she calling like that today for? Like, he hasn't heard you calling like that for, like, 15 years now. You know, so it will make a difference. SubhanAllah, like, it's like you're bringing him back to when he was young. You know what I mean? Because as we get older, we get a bit, like, what's it called, nashy, a bit dry, a bit, you know what I mean? Come on, Danny, it's all in your mind. Your age is in your mind. You can still be young. You can still play around. You can still have fun. Just because you're 50 doesn't mean you can't have fun. So let yourself go back to the past. You know, call each other by these cute names that brings you back to the past and makes you feel young. Right? And this is what we see in the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So because be careful, because obviously, you know, look at the way, you wonder, why is my husband staying away from me? Why is my husband always distancing himself away from me? Why does he run out of the house and he always goes with the brothers and doesn't want to stay home? Or he never, you know, I call him and he never wants to come home. Let's have a look at the way we speak to him, first of all. Let's have a look at the way we call him. You know, is it every time he sees you, it's like, oh, why did you bring the milk? Oh, you forgot to do this. You know, like every single time he sees you, it's like a complaint. Or it's like, you know, there's a sarcasm, the way you speak to him, the way you call him, subhanAllah. So of course, after a while, what does the man do? He just wants to run away. You know what I mean? And I know you're probably saying, well, look the way he speaks to me. But like I'm saying, just always remember, make that change first, because it's going to be very hard for your husband not to be nice to you when you're suddenly acting very nice to him. It's very hard to be nasty to a person who's being nice to you, sisters. Have you ever tried being nasty to a person who's being nice? It's very hard. Okay? So obviously, if you're making that change, give it time. Yes, maybe the first day you just think, oh, what does she want from me? Right? But as time goes by, you keep on doing that and keeping up with that behavior, inshallah, it can make positive changes, inshallah. Okay, so the second thing that the scholars recommended that the women or men pay attention to the way they speak to each other is when they want to ask for something from their husband or wife. You know, to look at the way you ask. Not to make it a hard thing, like, you know, make it in a nagging way or a criticizing way. You know, it's going to be done in a light way. Try to make it light. You know, like, Hamudi, like, mashallah, I love how you've done this for me today, but you know what, I hope you don't mind, but do you mind if on your way home from work you could bring me some milk, you know? Do you understand? Like, try to make it in a positive way of, you know, asking for something. Like, subhanAllah, you have to understand, like, the best thing to do, actually, sisters, look at the way you're asking that thing from your husband and ask yourself, would you like someone to ask me in that way? If that was my husband asking me this thing, would I like him to ask me in this way? Like the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. Like, one of you does not believe until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. And what does this hadith teach us? It teaches us to treat others as we'd like to be treated ourselves. So that's key. Like, if we want to know how can I talk to my husband, you know, in order to ask him something from him, to ask him to do something for me, think about what would be the best way I'd love someone to ask me for something. Because we all feel burdened. We all feel pressured. Everyone's constantly demanding from us. Our kids demand from us. Our life demand from us. You know, we have problems. And then someone comes along and says, oh, can you get this for me? Can you get that for me? You know, and you feel more burdened. So to make that request in a light way can lift that burden and make it lighter to yourself. You understand? And the other thing too, sisters, is when your husband does do something for you, don't overlook the small things. Because what we tend to do, like again, we take it for granted. No matter what he does, even if it's putting a cup in the sink, right? To say, Jazakallahu khairan, barakallahu fiqh for that. You know, just even a small ma'ruf, a small thing he does for you, put the rubbish out. He remembers to put the rubbish out. You know, if you want to change behavior, like we all know, there's little things that drive our husband, us crazy about our husbands that they keep forgetting to do, or they don't, you know, things that that annoy us, right? Look, it's been proven that criticism really doesn't get you very far. In fact, it tends to make the problem worse. The best way to solve the problem, sisters, or to bring about a positive change is by what's called positive encouragement. To pinpoint the positive things he does and to try and reinforce the positive behavior. So one of the ways of doing that is obviously by thanking him and showing sincere appreciation. When he does do that thing, to show sincere appreciation for that thing and say, Jazakallah khair, do you know what that means to me when you do that for me? Wallahi, I know you might think it's a small thing, but to me it meant a lot. Reflect that back to him, because don't you think that when someone reflects back appreciation like that, aren't they far more likely to repeat that in the future? They are. When you get positive feedback from someone and, you know, you feel good, it makes you feel good that you've done something, you'll be more inclined to do that thing in the future. And also, the other thing with husbands is to work on their positive points to try to bring about change in the negative points. You know, you can't keep on harping basically on the negative point. It really won't get you very far. So if you want to change the negative point, you have to keep reinforcing the positive point and give positive feedback. Like, for example, I've had sisters that tell me, you know, my husband doesn't, like, he's careless with his prayers. You know, he doesn't, I wish my husband would be more diligent with his prayers and pray his prayers on time. And so what you do, you know, like, for example, when your husband does go to the mosque, and he does pray, for example, Fajr in time or something like that, you know, subhanAllah, you tell him, for example, you know, mashaAllah, Allah barak, you know, when you go to the mosque, you don't know how much more Allah lifts your estimation in my eyes. Like, subhanAllah, it's like Allah puts this huge respect in my heart for you. You know, like, you know what I mean? Just try to focus on the positive thing he's doing, and that slowly, slowly, inshallah, will bring about, bi'idhnillah, a positive change. Okay, the other thing we have to do also, or a third time, sorry, that the scholars recommended, we're very careful in when we speak to each other, is when we want to talk about something serious, we want to discuss a problem, or we want to, you know, we want to maybe complain about something that's happened in the day, right? The very important thing is that both the husband and wife should choose the time that's appropriate to speak. Now, a lot of women have this bad habit that the moment the husband lands on the doorstep, he opens the door and suddenly his wife flies at him, you know what the kids have done to me today? You know, like, oh my God, he just walks in the door and she's flying at him in the doorstep. Like, what would you do if that was you? You would just want to run, turn around and run away. So, you know, it is important to choose the right time. If you see your husband come home, he's got that serious look. You know, especially the longer you're married, the more in tune you are with your husband. You can read him by his face. And so when you see his face looking like this, you know it's not a good day to talk to him about something. Because if you talk to him about it, he's just going to say no, or he's going to react in a negative way, right? So you've got to make sure that when you approach him, he's in a good mood, he's in a happy mood. That's when you approach him about your issues. Don't try to approach him when he's concerned about a problem or he's upset about something. You're not going to get very far. So it is very important to choose the right time. And the other thing is that when you do sit together, the majority of your conversations shouldn't be negative. So that's another thing to look at. Have a look at how are the majority of my conversations with my husband? Are the majority of my conversations negative? Or are they 90% positive and sometimes we have a few negative conversations, but in general, our conversations in general are 90% or even over 90% positive, okay? Because I want you to keep something in mind, inshallah, when you're speaking to your husband, and that is what the Messenger of Allah told us, that the most beloved deed to Allah is that you bring happiness to your fellow Muslim. The most beloved deed to Allah is that you bring happiness to the heart of your fellow Muslim, and you relieve him of his distress. Now we think about that when it comes to our sisters in Islam. We think, oh, how could I make that sister happy? How could I bring happiness to her? How could I relieve her distress? But we don't think about that when it comes to our own husband, subhanAllah. Like, so why not try to bring happiness to his heart? Why not try and cheer him up? Bring happiness to his heart. And if he's feeling sad or down, Try to relieve him and relieve that distress. And remember that that's in the most beloved deed to Allah. So that's what I'm trying to say from the very beginning. Try to view your marriage as a way of getting close to Allah. You know, deal with your marriage with ihsan. When you start to deal with your marriage with ihsan, that's going to make a very positive change for Ibn Taala in your marriage. Okay, the fourth occasion when the scholars said we should be careful when we speak to each other is when the husband and wife are upset with each other. This is when we have to take particular care of the way that we speak to each other and what words come out of our mouths. Because when we get angry, we know that subhanAllah, shaitan will be there, sisters. Shaitan will be there and he'll be trying to make it worse. And you know, there's an authentic hadith that mentions about how the shaitan, you know, a'udhu billah, you know, his throne is over the water, and every day he sends his armies out to try to create fitna in the earth and create enmity in the earth. And then when one of his armies comes back and tells him that I made fitna between a husband and wife, the shaitan elevates that one. He elevates him and says, you are the worthy one. He praises him for it. Like, so it is from the greatest successes of the shaitan that he can create enmity between the husband and wife. And the number one time when shaitan is going to try to come to you is especially when you're feeling upset with each other and having an argument. That's when you've got to take particular care of the way that you speak to one another. Now, if we look at the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from his beautiful manners and perfect manners, is that subhanAllah, when he would become upset with one of his family members, is that his face would become red. They would see the change in his face, and in fact, he wouldn't actually say something. He wouldn't criticize the food. He wouldn't, you know, criticize the family member. But rather, his face would become red and they could see in his face that he was upset about something. And then they'd want to know what was it to try and work it out. Even Aisha, sisters. Aisha. Radiallahu anha wa abdaha. Look, it's the Messenger of Allah. Akhlan khalq. And it's his wives that will be with him in Jannah, but even they used to have arguments, sisters. Even they used to sometimes have disagreements, even though they were from the most pious of the people of this earth. But they had disagreements from time to time. So having disagreements is not something abnormal. It's normal, but it's the way you deal with the disagreements, sisters. It's the words that come out of your tongue. It's your actions that show the difference between the truly righteous person and the one who's just righteous by name. You know what I'm trying to say? So look at what she used to do when she used to be upset with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For example, when she was happy, she'd say, Wa Rabbi Muhammad. She would swear by the Lord of Muhammad. Yeah, Wa Rabbi Muhammad, you know, she would swear by the Lord of Muhammad whenever she was happy. But when she became upset with the Messenger of Allah, she would say, Wa Rabbi Ibrahim. By the Lord of Ibrahim. So she wasn't saying something wrong. The Lord of Ibrahim is the Lord of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But she was showing to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that she's upset. You understand? So from that he would know that he's done something, that she's upset, and then he'd want to know what happened to you, Ya Aish. Look, it's very important in marriage life, sisters, to overlook most things. Just don't pay too much attention to too many things. You know, and I say to sisters, if you're sitting there in your home thinking too much about what your husband's doing, I'm saying to you, you have too much time on your hands. Get a life, sisters. Seriously, get a life. Make yourself happy. Like, one important point they always mention, they say, there's like a psychologist in that, they say, the wrong thing we think is that I got married for my husband to make me happy. Okay, no one, you shouldn't be thinking, it's no one's responsibility to make you happy. It is no one's responsibility to make you happy. It is only your responsibility to make yourself happy. When you learn that it's your own responsibility to make yourself happy, that is the key to having happiness in your marriage. Make yourself happy, sisters. Get a life for yourself. Do things that make you happy and live a productive life. Do things that bring good to others and bring benefit. You understand? Study. Do something that, you know, especially studying the deen. That's from the best of things I could recommend. Studying the deen is from the best of things. So when you find yourself busy with productive things that bring, you know, the good in this life and the next, you won't have much time to be thinking about or paying attention to the mistakes of your husband. You understand? But it's the bored woman or the woman who doesn't have enough time, Yanni, she has too much time on her hands, that she's sitting there thinking about all the things and why doesn't my husband make me happy. And, you know, make yourself happy and then you won't be so dependent on your husband to make you happy, right? That's an important point. So going back to what I was saying, so that's what I'm saying. So don't overlook most of the things that he does, but of course, I'm not saying overlook everything he does. Sometimes there are real issues that are eating away at you, and that's also not a healthy thing, just to be passive and just forget about it and just keep overlooking and overlooking until one day you overlook so much that you just explode in his face and he had no idea that this was annoying you. And whose fault's that? It's actually not his fault. It's actually your fault, because you could have easily brought that to his attention a long time ago in a positive way that doesn't have so much emotion attached to it, isn't it? And he probably would have listened to you, and because you chose the right time to talk to him and you came across in a positive way and you didn't have so much negative emotion attached to it, he might have listened to you. But when you waited and let it, you know, until it exploded, it came out with a negative emotion where he's just going to block it out. He doesn't want to know about it. You understand? So this is why I'm not saying you completely forget about everything he does. There are sometimes, but what we should do too is pinpoint. Don't look at every little bad habit he has. Try to overlook, you know. As I said, if you're busy with your life, you won't be so paying attention to every little bad habit. But if there is a particular thing that's a real issue for you, you know, pinpoint that one thing. And then highlight to him all of his good points. And this is what I love about you. This is what makes me love you. But subhanAllah, look, if there's just this one thing you could change, wallahi, I know it's not easy to change it, but like, at least if you could give some suggestions about how he could make a positive change in that particular area. Now, one of the important points I want to mention here too is we're talking about arguments and how to, we should be careful when arguing. Now, I knew a sister, for example, that, you know, subhanAllah, her arguments were coming so bad with her husband, it was getting into swearing. You know, like, they were swearing with each other. Let's call the sister Fatima for today. So this sister Fatima, she's having these arguments with her husband, and it's getting out of control. Like, it's getting to the point where they're even starting to swear at each other. Okay? And so, subhanAllah, so basically, you know, the advice I told her, I said to her, first of all, what you do when you get in that real heated situation, your husband starts abusing you, maybe he's calling your name, something like that. What you should do is remind him of Allah. In that moment when he is abusing you, don't think about yourself right now. Think about Allah. Say to him, for example, you know what? SubhanAllah, I'm trying my best. I'm sorry that you're not happy with me in this particular area, for example. But you know what? Allah knows I'm trying my best. Allah knows. And tell him, look, if you're not happy with this, ask Allah, make dua for me and ask Allah to change me in, you know, the way you want, for example. You know, but what I'm just trying to say is I'm giving you some suggestions. You can think about your own thing. But what I'm trying to say is mention Allah. Why am I saying mention Allah? Because when two people argue, sisters, when people are angry with each other, the shaitan will always be there. When you mention Allah, it makes the shaitan run away. SubhanAllah, when you mention Allah, it makes the shaitan run away. And also, when you mention Allah, suddenly your husband, because the shaitan, as the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, told us, he runs in the blood of Adam, he runs in the body of Bani Adam like the blood runs through the veins, isn't it? So when a person's very angry, they block out everything. So when you remind him of Allah, you remind him of Allah now. Suddenly he thinks about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He starts thinking about, Allah is watching me now. Allah knows what I'm saying. In a sense, you're reminding him of Allah. That's one thing. Another thing to keep in mind is something that, you know, and you can even say this as well, that if you restrain your tongue while someone's abusing you and they're criticizing you and saying things to hurt your feelings, remember that the angels are making dua for you. The angels are making dua for you. For as long as you are patient and not responding. And this is demonstrated in a hadith in which Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu once was sitting with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and a man came and started abusing Abu Bakr. So Abu Bakr was saying patience. You know, like this man was saying the worst thing and really hurting his feelings. And he was remaining patient until he couldn't bear it any longer. And he responded. Now when Abu Bakr responded, the Prophet got up and left. So then Abu Bakr went to the Prophet and he said, Ya Rasulullah, he was abusing me. So like, you know, I responded, you know. The Prophet, he told him, while you were patient and not responding, there was an angel who was making dua for you and, you know, supporting you, in other words, right? But the minute you responded, the shaitan came, and I can't be anywhere where the shaitan stays. So I had to get up and leave. So that's what you should remember, that, like, remember that, you know, again, remember that, subhanAllah, you are being rewarded by you being patient at that time. There's no, anyway, look, when you're in an argument, wallahi sisters, there's no point responding at that time. He's not even going to listen. When your husband's very angry, it's better just to just be silent and just, you know, reflect it back. Yes, you're right. Yes, inshallah. You know, make dua for me. Look, inshallah, Allah knows I'm trying my best. You know, reflect it back like that. Then when he's calmed down, because you can't fight with someone who's not fighting back. It'll burn out. Like, he's got that anger. It'll come out. He'll get it all out. And then that's it. There's nothing, you know. How can you fight with someone who's not fighting back with you? You can't. You know what I mean? Because after a while, it just burns out. You know, it's like a fire. It just burns out. You know, it can't go anymore. But if you keep throwing the logs into the fire, just let the fire burn itself out, you know. When it's all burnt out, everything's calmed down, that's when you go with your tact. Women, look, sisters, mashallah, remember that as well. It's been proven that women are more like, we have that strength in the way of inability of expressing ourselves. Men aren't always good in expressing their emotions and feelings. So sometimes the way they have to express themselves is through anger or through actions. You know, they don't know how to necessarily get that, what they want to say out. Whereas you've got, Allah has blessed you with being able to express yourself in a better way and to be able to get your emotions out. So keep that in mind, that it's not always his fault, he's a man. So anyway, well, I'll go back to the sister Fatima I was talking about before. So she tried it, it does really work. And she was able to, like, turn around that behaviour in her household so that, her, you know, it didn't flare up to those really severe arguments. Like, you can turn around that you know, negative thing that's happening in your house by making such a change, inshallah. The other, you know, you've got to remember too that it's very important the way we speak back at those times of anger, because subhanAllah, you can sometimes say a word and that word could create so much hatred in a person's heart towards you. And they can't let go of it. And, you know, that moment of anger could make the other person forget about all the good things you've ever done. It's amazing. You could live with someone for years. But that destructive tongue of yours could destroy him remembering any good thing you've ever done. So that's why you have to remember that the tongue has an amazing power. That's why do you think the Messenger of Allah said, I guarantee paradise for whoever restrains these two things? And the first one is the private part, and the second one is the tongue and what's between the jaws. You know, it's kind of like, you can restrain those two things, inshallah, that person's guaranteed paradise. One more thing to keep in mind when arguing. The Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, I guarantee a place in Jannah for that person who gives up arguing even if he's right. Remember, sisters, the man has the male ego. Right? They like to always be right. There's no point trying to win the argument because it's very important to him to be the winner. Right? Amen. So what you should say to yourself is, look, have the intention in your heart and say, I'm going to give up this argument for the sake of Allah. I want the reward from Allah. The Messenger of Allah told us, whoever gives up arguing, even if they're right, that he promises them a place in Jannah. So to keep that in your mind, that, as I said, make your marriage, yeah, have the intention in your marriage that, you know, to have ihsan towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that, you know, you're seeking nearness to Allah through your marriage, inshallah. This will make a big difference, inshallah. The other thing, sisters, one more thing, like, before I continue on with the points I have, the other thing is, sisters, always ask yourself, and this is a very deep question, ask yourself, how do you want to be remembered when you leave this life? How do you want people to remember you when you leave this life? That's a very important and deep question to ask ourselves. You know, like, think about how would you like your husband to remember you? Just say you die before your husband. How would you like your husband to remember you? You know, how would you like your children to remember you? Everyone wants to be remembered in the best of ways. But have a look at our behaviour. Have a look at the way we speak. Have a look at our actions. Is that going to make our husband remember us in a good way? Or our children, are they going to remember us in a good way? How do they remember us? That's what we really should be focusing on as well. So remember, because those people who were left behind, they're the ones we can only hope upon to make dua for us when we leave this life, isn't it? The people who are close to you, they're the ones that, you know, we have a hope they're going to make dua for us, inshallah. So we don't want to leave hurt behind. We don't want to leave hatred behind us when we leave this life. We want people to have, you know, have said that, you know, even to say that, you know, Jazahullah khair, she was a righteous wife, and make dua for her. You know, like as the Messenger of Allah said, Ayyim ra'atin ma'at, that wazawjuha radin anha, dakhalat al-jannah. That any woman who died and her husband was happy and pleased with her, she'll enter the Jannah. And one more point I should also mention here too, sisters, that yes, I know that there are some women, they do everything, subhanAllah, and yet their husbands are, you could say, ungrateful, and their husbands have bad manners and bad akhlaq and everything. So just remember that your whatever you do is never lost with Allah. Even if your husband does not appreciate what you are doing, even if he does not appreciate your ihsan, Allah appreciates your ihsan. And remember that nothing is wasted with Allah. Inna Allaha la yudhi'u ajra al-muhsinin. Allah does not waste the reward of the muhsinin, those who do good. So you will see it in your book of records, inshallah, when you meet with Allah in the next life. So that's an important thing to keep in your mind. Deal with Allah and don't hold so much hope for having appreciation from the creations. And from those creations is your husband or your children. Okay, so this leads me to the next point of some other small points, inshallah, that we can change, inshallah, to bring about positive changes in our marriages, inshallah. From this is just a small thing like having manners. Having manners. When we go to the house, how much manners do we have with others? How do we talk to them? Look how nicely you ask someone to give you something, or, you know, whenever you talk to them, you have such nice manners with them. Just by improving your manners with your husband can make a huge difference. It can make a huge difference with the way your husband's going to respond with you, and the whole environment of the married life can change just by having better manners. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, shouldn't I tell you about those of you who'll be closest to me on Yawm al-Qiyamah? Who are those who are going to be closest to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when they are raised up on Yawm al-Qiyamah? He said, those of you who have husn khuluq, those of you who have best of character, like you have the best character and manners. So the character, having a good character is something that the reward for it is that inshallah you'll be raised with the Messenger of Allah in the next life. It's something that brings you closer to the Messenger of Allah in the next life. And he describes the good manners as being the person who's open-hearted, humble towards others, and who are friendly and make friends easily, and people make friends with them. So the friendly, outgoing person, the nice person, this is what we have to try to mold our characters into being. Not being judgmental, not being critical. You understand? Try to be friendly, outgoing, loving. This is the way, inshallah, we should be having our, you know, having the beautiful manners, inshallah, especially with our husbands and with our families. And also, you know, it was asked to the Messenger of Allah, what is the main thing that will help the person enter Jannah? He said, taqwallah wa husn khuluq, that the fear of Allah and the beautiful manners, the husn khuluq, the good character, this is what, subhanAllah, will be one of the main, this is the main thing that helps the person to enter a Jannah. So subhanAllah, we have to realize the first people we should be looking for to show these beautiful manners towards is the people closest to us. And so obviously if we're married, the number one person is our husband. If we're not married, then the number one person obviously is going to be our mother. And you know, then after that, our father. And if we look at the Messenger of Allah, look at how sensitive he was. You know, subhanAllah, what you have to realize, sisters, is the Messenger of Allah, he realized that getting closer to Allah is not just by your sajda. Getting closer to Allah is not just by your soul and your fasting and your prayers and your ibadat. Getting closer to Allah is by showing ihsan to those around you. And the best to show ihsan to is your husband and your family. And that's why, look at him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the first thing he would do when he would come into his house is he would use a siwak. Why? Because he didn't want his family members to even offend them the slightest with the bad smell of his breath. SubhanAllah. That's how conscious he was of showing ihsan towards his family members. Even to the limit of not wanting to even smell the slightest bad smell. Bi abi wa ummi ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right? And subhanAllah, sisters, the other thing that, you know, the Aisha mentions that, you know, when he would come into the house, despite how much he was ground with his outside work of serving the Ummah, and all mention all the people used to come to him with questions and you know, subhanAllah, leading armies and everything he was doing outside, but she said that when he would come into the house, subhanAllah, that he would start to serve his family. Like, whatever his family was doing, like, if one of them was mending a shirt, he would come and help them mend that shirt. If one of them was mending shoes, he would come, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and mend shoes. So he didn't feel it was too below him to come and work with his family and help them in something that they're doing, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you know, subhanAllah, and he showed that he was happy to do that. Why was he happy? Because he knew that this is a way of getting close to Allah. Even by small actions, simple little things, that this is something that, you know, brings a person close to Allah. So we find that he was very humble in the way he would deal with his family and bring happiness to his family. Like we said, idhar al-surur, bring happiness to the heart of your believing brother or sister. This is from the most beloved deed to Allah. So keep that in your mind, that doing these little simple things that can bring happiness to your husband is something that, subhanAllah, can give you so much rewards. Like, look, you know, subhanAllah, it's mentioned that, for example, and this is also one thing we sometimes neglect to do, is just to show, like, doing simple, small things to show your love and affection towards your husband. Like, don't you love to be cared about? Or don't you love, don't you love to feel cared about? Yeah? Everybody on the face of this earth loves to feel cared about, right? Similarly, your husband loves to feel cared about. Now, caring about someone doesn't mean you have to go buy them an expensive car and say, look, Habibi, this is what I bought you, right? It doesn't have to be in big things. If you look at the relationship of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his wife, subhanAllah, sisters, they used to show their love and care in the most simplest of ways, but wallahi, it had the biggest effect on the heart. The smallest action, but it has the biggest effect on the heart. Like Aisha mentions how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he would, you know, for example, he would ask her, for example, to bring him some soup. And then when she'd bring the soup, he would prefer her to drink first before him. He'd say, no, you drink first, right? And so when she would drink first, he would see where she placed her lips on the cup, and then he would make sure to turn the soup, and he would place his lips on the same place where she has placed her lips. SubhanAllah, like, look how small is that? How expensive was that, sisters? How much did that cost? And yet, imagine how huge is the effect on the person's heart to show the love. SubhanAllah. And subhanAllah, and so he would say to her, for example, drink ya Aisha before me, and then she would say, no, wallahi, I'm not drinking before you. And then we actually have a fight about who's going to drink first, for example. You know what I mean? And so they're both showing that, no, you go first, no, you go first. You know what I mean? Like this. So that brings love. And they're even having maybe a fight, even laughing about the fight, because they're both fighting about who's going to drink first, right? some of the ways to come up. And also, we see how, you know, it's important in a married life to sacrifice one's own interests at times for the interests of your husband. Now, for example, just say your husband loves cars. And you find cars is the most boring thing to you in your whole life. Or he loves computers. And you find computers is the most boring thing you ever think of. But from the wisdom of the wise wife is that you've got to show, you know, you show attention to what he loves. The way to make, the way to win someone's heart is by showing an interest in what they love. That's what brings them close to you. So if you want to bring the, if you want to win the heart of your husband, one of the best ways of doing it, even if you're gritting your teeth and going, yeah, you know, like, but just to ask questions, you know, like, so how's that computer program going you're working on right now? Like, if you don't have no clue about it, you know, try to find out, you know, ask questions. Oh, okay, so what program are you using? You know, like, you know, what was that car you're working on now? How's it going? Is it finished yet? You know, like, you've got to show that interest. Now, if you look at the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we see that he did this. For example, you know that story when there were those Ethiopians coming to play with their spears in the mosque? Right? And what did he do? Aisha, she wanted to watch those Ethiopians playing with the spears. Now, the Prophet has got a thousand other things he needs to be doing right now, right? But she wants to watch the Ethiopians playing with the spears. And so it's mentioned that, you know, he stood, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, with his back, you know, screening her with her, his cloak, and she placed her chin on his shoulder, and she's watching over his shoulder the Ethiopians. And she mentions how, subhanAllah, even she got tired of watching, but she wanted to see how long will he stay standing for her. You know what I mean? She was she was very tricky, Aisha. Like, you have to read her story to know how tricky she was. She, I'm going to see how long he'll stay here for me, you know. He stayed there, subhanAllah, until he, even he's moving his feet like that. He's obviously getting tired, so I'm standing there waiting for her to finish. But he didn't say anything. He let her get her full enjoyment. So what we learn from this small story is you have, you know, like, subhanAllah, married life is about giving and taking. You know what I mean? And we sometimes complain, why doesn't my husband show interest in my things and he doesn't give me, you know, like, he doesn't give me my emotional attention and stuff like that, or not meeting my emotional needs. But we need to also look at the way we are meeting his emotional needs, you know, and showing interest in what he's interested in. And then when you start showing an interest in his things, he might start asking you, how's your sewing club going? So it, you know, marriage is very much about giving and taking. We can't be thinking, why am I getting this? Why am I getting that? We would be think, we should be changing and thinking, wait a minute, how much am I giving? How much am I showing attention? And then to say, you know, subhanAllah. And then sometimes you do have to, like, highlight to your husband and say, you know, I'd really love it to show you what I'm doing. Maybe you haven't noticed, but I've actually been working on this great tapestry, for example, and I'd really love to show you sometime what I'm doing, you know, like, you understand, and to show, you know, to get also your needs met as well. You sometimes have to highlight that. Don't always expect it. Another example is how the Messenger of Allah was racing with Aisha, like how they went to the outskirts of the city and he had a race with her, and the first time she beat him. And then later on, after Badr, they had another race. And this time, because she got a bit older and she was a bit heavier, he beat her and he said, that's for that. You know, this is for that. You know, like, he paid her back. You know, in other words. So we've got to have fun. Like, we've got to make married life more light and fun. No matter how old we're getting, you still have to try to make the married life fun and not make it so heavy. And try, even no matter what problems you're having, still try to lighten up and make it happy. You know, better, inshallah. So we have to realize this is like, some sisters, what happens, like, you know, subhanAllah, a lot of cases you'll find that sisters that, you know, she's doing all the cooking, she's doing all the cleaning, she's looking after the children, but you know what's happened? Because she's so ground with everything she's doing, she's not actually meeting the emotional needs of her husband. She's forgotten about the husband needs to feel that care and love, right? So what I say to sisters, if you're feeling so ground that you're no longer able to really show that love and care towards your husband, I say to you, take off some of those responsibilities. Because look, sometimes sisters put extra responsibilities on themselves that they couldn't do without. Like, you know, I know some sisters, for example, she feels like she has to wash all five children every single night. You do not have to give your kids a bath every single night, every single one of them. Like, if that makes, okay, if you want to do that and you're happy, you're having a happy life with your husband, go ahead, you know, be my guest and bath every single child and polish every single window in your house, right? If that's making you happy and you have a happy married life and you're having a great emotional life with your husband, fine. But if you're finding yourself like feeling like bitter because of your life, because, you know, like you haven't, you know, you've got no time for yourself, take it out on your husband, I would say to you, sisters, sit down and think about what can I cross off and relieve myself, like start taking some things off your shoulders, you know, like don't bath them every night, bath them every third night, you know, do you know what I'm trying to say, reduce your list to make yourself feel happier. And then a lot of things you're doing that your husband wouldn't even care if you did it or not. I'm talking about in the house, like, so what, maybe he one day didn't make the bed. You understand? He might not care. He'd probably prefer that you had that loving relationship when you come home and showing that love and care. How are you happy with you with a big smile on your face? He'd probably prefer that more than to have all the beds being tidy and the house perfect. You know, like often you'll find that the husband who's, you know, if his emotional needs are being met, you'll find that he'll overlook so many faults of the woman and the house. Like you might find a woman, she's not even doing the same cooking, like she's not the chef. Okay, she's not the perfect cleaner, but why has her husband got the big smile on his face? Because she's meeting his emotional needs. Like he feels he's really loved and cared for. So he's happy, even though he's got maybe a bit of a messy house a little bit, not that perfect like someone else. But the other husband, he comes along with the grumpy face. Why? His house is mashallah beautiful. He's got it's vacuumed every single day. The kids are thick and span with perfectly ironed clothes. But he's got the big frown on his face. Why? Because subhanAllah, his wife is so ground and so grumpy and bitter that it comes out on the husband. You understand? So you've got to ask yourself, all right, like I'm obviously not in a good way with my husband. Like I'm obviously taking this out. I'm feeling bitter. What are some of the things I can do to change in my life to make myself lighter and not feel this burden? You know, maybe there's someone who can come and help me. Like, you know, and see what you can do. You understand? And relieve yourself. A lot of these things you're doing, maybe you don't need to actually do a lot of these things you're doing. Maybe you're overdoing it. That's why I find a lot of sisters are actually overdoing it, and their husband really wouldn't care so much if they didn't do a lot of those things. Right? So that's something to keep in mind, inshallah. Another thing is like what we were saying before, going back to the story of Aisha and the Prophet, we're talking about small things to show the love and care. We're talking about the simplest things. Like, when you see your husband, to show you feel happy to see him, to smile. That's such a small thing, but that can make such a big difference in the relationship. Another thing that's been mentioned is when he comes home, instead of like him fumbling with the door with the keys, to actually try to go to the door and greet him at the door. Assalamu alaikum, how are you? You know, it makes him feel welcome and feel happy that, you know, you even open the door for him. That makes him feel happy, you know? Or when he's going to eat, maybe he's already eaten, he comes home late. You, instead of just like ignoring that, you go and sit with him and make him feel have company, you know? Or when he's leaving in the morning, to actually go to the door and wave goodbye to him and show that care. Look, subhanAllah, both the ulama and even the psychologists have shown it's these small little things, sisters. It's the small little things that are neglected and forgotten that, subhanAllah, they can cause the biggest problems in marriages. And that by doing, just changing these small little things that we're neglecting as time goes by, can make, inshallah, big improvements, inshallah, in the marriage. Rather than me going on more, I think I'd prefer maybe we ask some questions. So if anyone would like to ask some questions, I'll start taking some questions, because what's going to happen is it's going to be nearly to hump the door and the brothers will start coming in. So if anyone has any questions, I'll start taking questions, and while you're thinking about those questions, I'll continue on a little bit more. How about that idea? So start thinking about questions. If you've got questions, start asking me, so we can. Because once the questions start, then it starts going for a long time, and then you might not be able to finish all the questions. So does anyone want to ask anything right now? One thing to keep in mind, while you're thinking about those questions, one thing to keep in mind is the one. Let's say something else here, that the one who truly has ihsan in dealing with their husband, right, is not the one who their husband deals with in a nice way. Actually, the one who really has ihsan indeed with their husband, is the one who their husband doesn't, is not dealing with them and neglecting their rights, and yet they're still showing ihsan towards their husband despite him neglecting their rights and stuff like that. Like, there was a man who came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He came complaining about his relatives, and he said, "Ya Rasulullah, I have relatives and I try my best to keep ties with them, but they cut me off. I give to them, but they withhold from me. I'm kind and good with them, but they treat me in a bad way." So the Messenger of Allah, what did he say to that man? He said, if you are as you're saying you are, that it's as if you're letting them eat from and protect us, or to breathe from the dust of the ash of the fire. So in other words, if you're doing everything good and your husband is oppressing you despite your ihsan, that is not a good thing for the husband. And he will be asked about that. That is a zalim, that is an oppressor. So he will be asked about that. But keep in your mind, like I said earlier, that إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِيعُ أَجْرُ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Allah does not cause the deeds of the muhsinin to be lost. Has anyone got any questions yet?
You know, with the in-laws on both parties, do you have to, you know, sort of rahim?
Yeah, so silat al-rahim is not with your... Actually, the in-laws are not silat al-rahim. Okay, so the rules of silat al-rahim don't actually apply to your in-laws. The main reason or motive for maintaining a good relationship with your in-laws is out of pleasing your husband. Which, by pleasing your husband, you please Allah. Okay, but if your in-laws harm you and your husband knows that, it's not like that it's a sin on you if you don't, you know, go to them and stuff like that. Because it's not like maintaining blood ties. Okay, maintaining blood ties is something separate than...
What about the kids?
The kids have to. Pardon?
Or you have to.
Yeah, no, he can take them. That's their sister rahim. The in-laws are their sister rahim. They are their blood ties. So you have to encourage, like, despite your bad relationship with them, we really shouldn't let that influence the relationship between them and their grandparents or whatever, because they have got a responsibility towards their blood ties with their grandparents.
Also goes for him as well. And
yes, vice versa. No, he doesn't have to, but like, again, like Allah says, وَعَاشِرُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. You know, live with them in kindness and good, and part of that good treatment is being good to the wife's family and showing good. That he's going to get rewarded by doing that. And before I forget to remember something else, and that is, like Allah says, always remember this ayah as well in the Quran, that Allah Ta'ala, He reminds us in the Quran, He says, فَإِنْ كَرِهْتُمُهُنَّ فَعَسَىٰ أَنْ تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَيَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. He tells believing men that if there was something you hate about them, فَعَسَىٰ أَنْ تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَيَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. That perhaps you dislike something, that Allah brings an abundant good out of it. That's similar for the woman. There are things you may not like about your husband. There are things that you don't like and that annoy you. But remember that you may dislike something, but yet that thing, Allah brings a great deal of good out of it. So Allah is reminding us to be patient with those things which we don't like. Yes, sister.
My question was, if, like, for a woman, yeah, Allah comes first and then her husband, I was wondering, what is it for a man? Allah, then his mother, then
yeah.
If it was, like, is it the mother, is it his wife and then his children, or his children and his wife? Where does, like...
Yeah, so it's obviously his mother first, but that doesn't mean, when we say mother, it doesn't mean she's allowed to take from the rights of the wife.
Yeah.
Not to the extent where her rights start to impose on the wife's rights. And that's where it goes wrong in a lot of cases. And the mother-in-law thinks that she now has the right to just do anything, no matter what, even if it oppresses the wife. That is haram. It's not allowed. Okay? But then, you know, after that, of course, you know, like, that's his wife, and she has her rights. And Allah is going to ask the man about his wife, about, like, as, you know, the Messenger of Allah said, kulukum ra'in wa kulukum mas'ulun an ra'iyatihi. Like, all of you is a shepherd or, you know, a caretaker, and all of you will be asked about who he's entrusted with. So, and that the man will be asked, you know, a man will be asked about his wife, and he'll be asked about his children, right? If anyone else got any questions?
Where does the wife come?
Where does the wife come? Like I'm saying, like after the mother, but at the same time, not to the point where the mother-in-law overtakes the rights of the wife. That's not allowed.
What about with the children? Do the children come before the wife?
We can't really say that the children come before the wife. It's not like that.
Yeah, it would be fair to say that it's the husband's job to do a balance between all the people.
Yeah, but I mean, in general, of course, I'd say, yeah, the wife would come before the children. Yeah. Wallahu a'lam. The wife comes before the children because that's the husband and wife. They've got their own rights.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then the rights of the children. Yeah. If you're not looking after your marriage, how can the household be stable?
Yeah.
And that's what we've got to think about. Like, yes, your house is important, your housework is important, your children are important, but like, let's not lose sight that, you know, let's work on the what's the core of this whole house? It's your marital relationship. So if your marital relationship is not sound, the whole house is going to fall apart. You know what I mean? So it's very important. And before I forget, I just want to mention this very important point here that's very essential for married life, and that's obviously the intimacy issue. This is something we can never talk about it too much, the intimacy issue. That the husband and wife both need to be meeting each other's needs, you know, in the marital relationship. It's so important. And part of that, you know, obviously, is like how the Prophet was being careful with his breath. We should be careful with where we look, our dressing, our looking nice. It doesn't mean we have to always go pour the makeup on our faces. Just looking neat and tidy and looking respectable, smelling in a nice way, not going to the door with, you know, BO, you know, or you know, disgusting smell. You understand? Like smelling nice, looking after your teeth, looking after your health. It is important, like to look after this issue of the marital home, because subhanAllah, we see that the Sahaba, they used to look after and pay attention to the way they would look for each other. Like Ibn Abbas mentioned, he would put Qahat on and they're saying, "What are you doing? You're a man of the Akhirah, you're a man of," and he'd say, "Just like I like my family to look nice for me, I like to look nice for my family." So it's even for the men, not just the woman, she should look nice. Even for the man, they should pay attention to this, because it's something that increases the love when we both pay attention to these needs. And then one more point I want to mention as well is we should pay attention to being available for our husbands. Like now with the invention of internet, social media, you know, and all of these things, we find men and women are neglecting each other's rights more and more. And that's actually creating a barrier between them and having intimacy. So, like, you find them staying up all night on the internet. Like, maybe the man goes to bed by himself while she's up on Facebook. Or, she goes to bed and he's... You understand? So this is creating a marital a barrier between the husband and wife. So we need to be more sensitive to these things and realize that this intimacy, if this intimacy is not existing enough in the marriage, they will start to become problems in the marriage. The intimacy is a very core issue. It's one of the main reasons for marriage. It's what, you know, helps the person to lower their gaze and guard their chastity. And it's not maintained, and if not maintaining this aspect of the marriage, you know, the marriage will, you know, they will, the tension will come into the marital relationship. The tension will start to come, and the problems will start to come as well. So it's very important to keep this in your mind. Has anyone got questions? Yes, sister.
It's more easy to say, like, if actually a virtue to remain silent. What if the man or the woman, by the way, uses that as a weapon? Could it sort of annoys the other person?
Yeah. Like, well, we all know that we tend to use Islam for our weapons, like when it's suitable for ourselves. But maybe we could step back and think, what is he trying to tell me here? Like, okay, like, again, go back to what we're saying today. Like, I think we have to weigh it up. Are we always remaining silent and then sometimes, you know, talking in a positive way to our husband about a certain issue, or are we constantly airing our grievances? Because if we're constantly airing our grievances, then it is better to do what we said in the hadith, you know, to remain silent, to overlook, like I was saying, in most cases. But of course, you have the right, if something is really like a core issue for you, but you have to also look at, like, you have to also pay attention to, like, how much am I, like, try to get that balance of, ask yourself, like, have you constantly been negative and trying to see a cycle of negativity and nagging? Because then they will just shut off. And then they probably will throw a hadith at you, like, "Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir falyaqul khayran aw liyasmut." Like, they probably throw that at you because they just want you to be quiet. It's just a way of making you, you know, using it as a weapon to be quiet. But if you're always silent and you're patient, And then you come with a real grievance, like, again, try to choose that right time and say, look, you know, you're right, it's true. Like, I myself, if that was me, and if I've done all the things I've been saying today, and my husband was to throw that hadith at me, I would say, you know, you're very right. SubhanAllah, whoever believes in Allah on the last day should say the khair or be quiet. But, you know, like, SubhanAllah, in this instant, I really feel that trying to fix my marriage is a khair. Like, trying to fix my marriage and try to fix this problem with you is a khair, because I would rather let you know how I'm feeling than to hold this in myself and have this resentment towards you for this particular thing that is, you know, annoying me, you know, for example. And look, I know, and try and remember, whatever you say that you don't like, remember, please, sisters, it's very important to lift a lot beforehand, show that appreciation beforehand. You know, because we have a habit as human beings of mentioning the bad. Like, you know what I mean? We have this habit of just remembering and mentioning the bad. We have a very bad habit of forgetting the good. So if you want someone to change in a positive way, before you start to say what you don't like, say, listen, I want to reflect something to you. You know, one of the things I love about you as my husband, mashallah, you're such a hard worker. You know, you've been a very patient man with me. And I know myself. Like, another way to get them to listen to is to blame yourself and say, look, I know. I have these faults. I do this and I do that, and I know that annoys you. And, you know, I'm trying really hard to fix it about myself. And, I, you know, please make dua for me as well. I really need your dua to help me, you know what I mean? But, like, there's just one thing that I really, you know, ask Allah, that if you could do this, it would mean so much more to me. That if you could, you understand, so it is very much about approach. Have a look at your approach and see the way that you could maybe, you know, change the approach, inshallah, to get them to listen to you and to accept, you know, the thing that you want changing, inshallah. But it is very important to be talking with a smile when you don't have the negativity, because if you're going to be talking with that negativity and that aggression, like you've built up so much, it's not going to come across well. You know what I mean? So it's better for you to just, maybe you should write it all down on a piece of paper and vent on the paper before you go and approach your husband. That's actually been shown to really improve. You know that that's been shown, that if someone's going through a really big problem with anything, that if they write it down continually for 3 days and just blurt it out on paper, it's been shown to dramatically reduce their stress levels. And that I think that if you were to do that for 3 days, constantly just blurting out how you feel, get it all out, then when you come to your husband, because you've blurted out so much, you'll get to the main crux of the matter, and you won't be going on and on and on. Like, you pinpoint the main thing and try to keep it in a more positive light, because you've got to say to yourself, look, this man is not going to change, right, unless I do it in a positive way, unless I, you know, come across with a good approach and in a positive way. That's the only way he's going to take on what I'm saying. But if it's done with a negative way, he's just going to shut, and he's not going to listen. Yes, it's done.
So if you're burning out on the paper, would you get skin if you're like, if you abuse them on the paper, like, never actually come down?
But what I would say to you, the best thing to do, after you've blurred it all out, I reckon I advise you to rip it up and put the paper in the bin, because I am scared that your husband finds it and reads it. Maybe the best advice is to blurt it out, just get it completely out of your system. Say the worst things that you've ever wanted to say.
So that's allowed, you won't get things like that.
No, because it's between you and Allah. No one knows about it. You know, it's just because you're doing it as a therapy. Because, as well, your intention behind it is that you don't, that you're curbing yourself. You are so upset that you know that if you talk about this to this person, you're going to say these things that are going to really hurt their heart. Okay? So blur it all out on the paper first a few times, get it all out of your system, have a look at it, and then pick what you think is more important to take from it, and then try to deal with it in a positive way, because honestly, if you come in a negative way or like hurt them with the way you say it, what's going to happen? If someone comes and hurts you, do you listen to them? You don't. You just shut up and, I mean, like, you shut yourself off and you don't want to hear about it. It's the same thing, but he's going to do the same thing with you as well. Has anyone got any more questions? Okay, so this is basically, you know, today's lesson was not to create miracles in your marriage. But we just do our best, inshallah. But I do believe strongly that if you make these small changes, inshallah, that it definitely will bring about positive changes. I'm not saying that every single problem you've ever had with your husband will suddenly miraculously vanish, But inshallah, by implementing a lot of the things I mentioned today, I do believe that you will get definitely a more positive result inshallah in your marriage. But remember, the last thing to always end with is always make dua in your sajda. Make dua in the last hour on a Friday. Make dua when it's, you know, raining. Make dua when you're traveling. Make dua in the last third of the night. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to, subhanAllah, to make, you know, your husband happy with you. Ya Allah, make my husband happy with me, and make my marriage life, you know, happy, and help me to please my husband, and help me to achieve Jannah through my husband. You know, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because He is the turner of the heart, isn't it? Allah is the turner of the heart, sisters. Never forget that. The hearts are in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He turns them as He wishes. So, you know, your husband may be, you know, going away from you these days, but by you making some positive changes and making sincere dua, you can, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can turn his heart around and improve, inshallah, the relationship with you. So we'll leave it there. وَقُولِ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ وَلِيهُ لَكُمْ وَسُبْحَانَكُمْ وَمِحَمْدِكُمْ نَشْهَدُ وَلَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ نَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَنَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ.